Hello, everybody. I'm Del Shores.
And I'm Emerson Collins, and you're watching The Del and Emerson Show.
Straight talk.
Real gay. Well, here we are.
Here we are. It's like you can't even do the silliness with enthusiasm. You know, it's a tough, it's been so tough.
Yeah. I mean, welcome, everybody. Hello. We talked a lot about doing this show this week. We didn't do Tuesday to give space to Black queer people, to Black entertainers, to Black leaders to lead the space. And then we got together and talked and said, you know, we do have a small platform of people we can reach. And there are things we can do as white people, as white gay men. And so we're going to talk about some of those things today. It's going to be a little more focused and serious than usual, but we want to give you a space to talk about things, to ask questions, for us to communicate together. And, you know, it's Pride.
Yes, it's Pride Month. And also, just so you know, Alec Ponovic is not going to be able to make it today. He sends his apologies, but we have Debbie Holiday a little longer, and that's always good. So the three of us can, we can talk. So
a little bit.
It's so interesting. I was thinking about Emerson. I was thinking about, like, we always joke about how we pretend to, hey, Emerson, what's going on in your life? And honestly, we've been very quiet. We haven't had much to say to each other. I think it's just been a time of not only learning and reflection, but a time of mourning. I mean, yesterday was so difficult to watch that funeral and just, you know, see the grief and see the pain that this is causing. But also, I'm very interested in seeing a lot of changes that are happening right now. You know, we're within police departments and procedure, and it's kind of wonderful that people are not stopping. You know, and yeah. I don't know about you, but I mean, you know, you stay on Facebook or whatever, and you can get really distracted by these people who are, all they want to do is talk about the looting, where they really want to distract from the real cause. And I have a lot of those people that I grew up with, or that, you know, I love and adore. I mean, my family members. And I just have to say, you know what? No, don't start defending Trump and his Bible moment to me.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Well, and it's also, you know, when we talk about, I think for a lot of people, we end up in the place of what can we do, right? You know, there's the giant systemic issue, and the answer to, like, bullshit distractions about the protests and the behavior of certain people is that nothing changes in the system unless you stop the system and force it to pay attention to you. The system wants to move forward. And what we are talking about with systemic racism is things built into so many layers and levels of our system, from policing to housing to so much more. And if you don't bring it to a halt and force the system and the wealthiest and the people at the top to have to pay attention, the system will inexorably move forward.
Yes.
And so that's the answer to any of those bullshit objections.
And I loved, today I was so, I meant to write her name down because I want to, I'm sorry I didn't, but there's this wonderful articulate woman on, a Black woman on CNN, and she was talking about how what happens so often is that we start arguing and trying to change people's mind, that we need to just say, okay, that is not gonna happen. And I know that I'm guilty of that. Random, crazy people, you know, why am I gonna tweet Candace Owens or you know, or Rand Paul? When it means nothing.
Yeah.
So she said, focus on the people that you can do something together with. Those
yeah.
are the people we should be focusing on.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, the range of things that you can do can be suited to who you are and your world. There are people with anxiety. There are people not called to public protesting. There are people not comfortable in that environment. This isn't a, you have to do everything in order to be participating. Some of us can. I spent the afternoon making signs to go to the Palm Springs protest in the morning. I feel comfortable with that. You may not. You may be somebody that financial donations, because you are someone financially set, that's a way that you can contribute. if you can't show up, if you can't protest, you can amplify the messages of Black people, of Black queer people. You can share that. And a thing we really can do as white people, right, is stay in, not the like crazies, like the redneck Confederate flag waving, you know, bigot, racist, is not someone to spend your time on. Those are the people we want to move past, dismiss, exile from the culture. It's the people in the middle. You know, I had someone this week ask sincerely, why is All Lives Matter bad? Those are questions we can answer that Black people can't. That's not someone saying All Lives Matter to be terrible. They didn't understand. They'd never thought about it before. As white people, we can stay in those conversations. Asking Black people to do the emotional labor of explaining racism 101 to people who have been able to never really consider how it exists in the systems of our country, not on Black people. Don't ask them to do the work for you. One, Google is there. You know, research, like there are lists, there are so many things, but those are conversations we can have. I, as a white guy, can stay in that conversation longer with the patience and the fortitude to help someone else get to a better place. Those are the kind of things we can engage in without having to be the ones trying to write the legislation or change the entire police station system personally.
It's sometimes it's hard to be kind when you're doing it, though. I mean, it really irritated me the other day, and I thought, you know what, you need to back off just a little bit, because there were people on my page, on my fan page, that said, you know, people were put on Blackout Tuesday, and there were lots of hashtags with, and they, people were going, no, all lives matter, and I'm like, wait. Let me just school you just a little bit. And I, but at first it was like, let me school you just a little bit. Do you not understand that that's racist? You know? And then I said, no, let me just do this. And then don't write that again. Don't write that again on my page, because this is what it is. This is what it is. And it, yes, your life matters, but it's not about you right now.
Yeah. And also, you know, we should be the ones having patience where it's appropriate. And also, if you try something or you say something and a Black person says, hey, that's not it, you don't need to explain yourself, you know, fix it, delete it, try again. Like, it, the most that can happen to us, right, in these conversations is we get embarrassed or called out on the internet because we like didn't understand what we were conveying. But right. Like when we get tired, we can turn on that show to disappear for a little bit. We can turn, you know, we can actually put it down when we want to, when we need to, when we're tired. Black people are always Black. They're Black, yeah, when they're working. They're Black when they're out in the world. They're Black when they're trying to relax. They are always Black. So the embarrassment or the fear that's keeping you from trying to contribute, like, don't let that get in the way. And if you screw up, do a little better next time. Yeah, I have screwed up, certainly.
We all screw up. And but I'm so blessed. And I always... that word always kind of bothers me because it takes me back to the church. I am so blessed. Someone told me the other day from AT&T, I was trying to solve a problem, and she said, have a blessed day. And I was just like, she meant it. But I got sidetracked. I am blessed by having someone like Debbie Holiday in my life, where that I feel comfortable enough to call her and say, should we do our show today? Be honest with me. And she had a lot to do with me quickly when you said, do you think we should cancel? And I said, absolutely, I think we should cancel, because it just felt like that it was not the right time to do it. And we had just come off of our big fundraiser, and you know, we need to talk about that, and we will, because your things in our lives still continue. But in that, we do have to be conscious of what's going on and make sure that it's not about us. You know, yeah. At this point, it's not about us. And whatever, I want to listen more. My God, I had this amazing reunion with my students that from NSU the other day, and I heard some things that I had heard before, but man, did I hear them differently. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I think that's something I've seen a lot this time. You know, Blake and I were talking last night, actually. The first protest we ever went to together was for Mike Brown after Ferguson in 2014. And we had to go down to Baldwin Hills to find the one protest. And we were two of the only white people there. And Jennifer Lewis was speaking, because I think Jennifer Lewis has spoken at every single protest I've ever been to. But we have seen the change in more and more white people being activated. It does feel like more white people are paying attention. And the social media thing can be weird because one part of it can feel performative, you know, and it's like a black square is like a pause moment. But like, if that's the only thing you did, it's literally the least you could have done. That said, I've seen people posting and doing things that I've never seen do it before. And that's a big step for them. So that's good. It's not an end place. You know, it's a first step. But it does feel like more people are participating in the conversation.
But I have to say one thing that, you know, something happened that somebody that in someone that's very close to me's life started making a big list, tagging people, white people who had not posted anything. And I found that really, really counterproductive, that's your form of protesting, is to call people out and shame them. I understand why he did it in a way. But on the other hand, I was like, boy, that took you a long time to do all that research. And why don't you use your time a little more effectively? And his research wasn't all that good too. He missed some things and he started getting a lot of shit because he put some people that had real, you know, you can't just say, oh, I didn't see anything on Facebook, because a lot, especially young kids, are all doing Instagram, and that's where they did it. So it was.
I'm a little both sides on this one, because I think there's multiple aspects to this, because I think you're right in one sense. One, don't assume from what you're seeing is all someone is doing, right? Because like your friend Susan, that's a mom with three kids whose Instagram is mostly like, look, we went to the park, here's a baseball game. That may not be her place. Now, where I do think it's okay to hold people accountable is when you watch people whose profession or significant investment is in social media. And there is nothing, you know, people who post daily, people who do jobs that involve selling things on social media, their brand is on social media, who they are is a big part of social media, and there isn't anything there. I think it's worth asking the question, what have you done? Does that make sense? Like, people who have like regular lives, but like the Insta gays, if you can get your dick print out every day, twice a day, all year long, and you couldn't post anything, this is your main forum of communication. And if you couldn't interrupt your brand to do the very least, which is a photo, because I watched someone say, oh, it's in my stories. Cool, except those disappear in 24 hours. And then when the protests eventually stop, there's no evidence in your lifeline that this stopped you at all. Does that make sense? Like, it's different.
I'm talking about just regular people that are.
I know, that's what I said. Like that's different.
Right, I was trying to find out what else this person was doing, because it was very upsetting to the person that I don't want to say who it was, but it was very upsetting. And so I went through their page and I was like, what else have you done besides out these people, these white people on your page? And he was a white person, by the way, and. I wanted, you know, I have a philosophy, because I have been criticized for my activism before. And I'm going, if your only form of activism is criticizing someone else's activism, you're not really an activist. You're an asshole.
Yeah.
So do something productive as well if you're doing anything.
Yes, there's good accountability, but like being just the bitchy accountability police isn't actually a whole form of thing. And here's my big thing I've been stewing on the last few days, right? Right now, as white people, it's really easy to pay attention because it's the only thing happening, right? At some point, it won't be the only thing happening anymore. And making permanent change is changing how it fits into your life. We all get busy. We all have lots of things to do. Not everyone is called to full-time activism, and that's okay. That applies on all issues. But like, if I step back and think, of the black people who have been killed by police, right? If I go Trayvon Martin, Freddie Gray, Philando Castile, Sandra Bland, how far down that list can we name names? And I don't mean that in a shame way, but I mean, I top out at like 8 or 9,
right?
But I can name 100 Real Housewives, right?
Yeah.
People can name the entire starting lineup of a football team. Our lives are full. But we give time to things we decide are a priority. You know, do you read the stories? As life moves forward, when something else happens, do you read the story and write your city council person? Do you click the link, or do you think, oh, that's sad, and then keep going? You know, we can change where this is on the priority scale in a way that's impactful, even moving beyond the current environment.
And then again, on a more personal level, what I was talking about in listening and hearing the same thing again, but hearing it differently and knowing I need to do something now because I didn't do so. I mean, you can always, well, that's just terrible. Oh my God, I cannot believe that she did that to you. Oh my, I cannot believe that. And then, but then you go, no, wait a second. This person needs to be, this needs to be challenged.
Yeah.
So, because
it's like that feeling in a quarter would have made you a phone call in 1992, you know, yeah. It's like, yeah, I felt didn't do anything.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's also Pride Month. And it's even more important as queer people and queer white people that we think about queer Black people and Black people, because we're all fighting for all equality. I often have thought and said, you know, if you got yours and went home, you weren't fighting for equality, you were fighting for your privilege. So like, we have to keep showing up. We have to keep being a part of this. And our movements were started with a heavy involvement from Black trans people and queer trans people. And so the news stories we're gonna share are focused on LGBTQ people and Black people and people of color involved in these protests. To share where our community is in this grander fight that's happening right now.
Emerson, before we go into that, I want to say one last thing that you gave a really amazing gift the other day. And this, if you didn't hear this the other day, hear it right now, because I'm repeating what Emerson's advice was. He said that somebody, one of his Black friends, told him, just check in on us. And because you said that, I did just that to many, many, many friends. And I cannot tell you the amazing dialogue and the appreciation that I received. And I was like, no, this is just the way it should be, you know, but you reminded me to do that, because no matter how, I was thinking about how hard I hurt yesterday watching that funeral and how hard we hurt when we watch that video over and over, or any of those videos, but think about your Black friend, how much harder they hurt. I mean, you can't even imagine it. And that's what I expressed to them. And you know, and you're worried. Am I gonna say the wrong thing? But you know what? If it's done in love and caring, it won't be perceived on any level.
Yeah. And also, with the Black people you are genuinely connected to, this isn't like call that coworker from Banana Republic in 2004. Like, don't invade that person's life. Like, this is like that becomes like your white guilt, like trying to get something off your chest. This is the ones you have real relationships that you can say, I'm here. Do you have space for stuff? Do you need anything? Or just, I'm here. And if you get it funky, the ones that you have real relationships will know what you meant, but don't like make them have to work at you. Otherwise you're doing that thing we've talked about where you like ask the cancer person, how are you? I feel so bad for you. And the person with cancer has to make you feel better about their cancer. Like, don't make your Black friends make you feel better about how bad you feel about white people's racism. Like, work at it.
Don't make it where they go, okay, remind me who you are.
Right. You know? If they have to say, who is this in the text message, you don't need to reach that Black person.
We had that one conversation on Grindr. I can't believe you don't remember. It was so, anyway, now we're
being all right. Well, we want to share some of, you know, these are intense stories, but some of them are sort of really impressive stories about how Black queer people are moving through this space right now. So I just wanted to sort of share and shout out Philippe Cunningham. He spoke Wednesday with Brittany Packnett in the virtual town hall with Obama. And he's one of the few out transgender people on an American city council. And he serves in North Minneapolis, where George Floyd was killed. And he talked to the Windy City Times saying, I'm Black and trans masculine, and I navigate the world being seen as a Black man and am treated as such. When I saw the video, a ton of trauma came up and I was so angry as a Black man in America, angry as a city council member. I put in hours and hours and hours of work trying to make the smallest change with the institution of policing in this city. When I saw that, knowing that efforts have been pretty futile, seeing the video enraged me, but it also confirmed that we need an alternate form of public safety outside of policing. So that is a Black trans man who works in our government saying our institutions of policing are not working for us.
Yes. And, you know, Don Lemon, he's so controversial to a lot of people. He rubs Trump the wrong way, has called him dumb so many times. Well, he's not dumb. He's very, very smart. And I really love what he did. He's if you don't know who Don Lemon is, he's a CNN anchor. He's on every single night for a couple of hours. And so he called on celebrities. He said, especially those who are people of color, but white celebrities as well. And I think that's what you were speaking to a little bit ago, Emerson, and said, speak out, saying, since all of this chaos broke out this evening, no call for calm. A lot of people I have asked to come on the show to talk about this, such as wealthy celebrities, wealthy political people, say, oh, I can't do it. I'm mad. I don't want people to see me mad. It might hurt my business. He also said one of those things that he really hates. It might hurt my brand. He said, I hate that word. I do too in this, for instance. I'm so upset that I had to go to my country house. He went off. Don went off. So he says, where are you? Why aren't you fighting for these young people? If you don't do it now, when are you going to do it? When the hell are you going to do it?
Yep. And particularly as we have seen so many police encounters ignore press people accompanying rallies and protests. Journalist Keith Boykin is a former White House aide who's also Black and gay. And he was arrested and detained in New York City last weekend while photographing and filming the protests, despite having identified himself as a member of the press. Boykin said the police did not read him his Miranda rights or allow him to make a phone call. He said, I turned around and they arrested me anyway. Adding that his hands were zip tied, he sat in a van for more than an hour before being taken to a police station where he was placed in a cell with 35 other people. He was held there for at least 4 hours without being afforded his right to make a phone call. He was finally let go with a summons to appear in court for blocking a highway. He said the police have too much power. So often the police don't de-escalate. They make matters worse. And that's what people are protesting. This is a Black gay man who is a reporter who worked in the White House, who had police flaunt every aspect of that identity and his role at the protest, just absolutely dismissed.
Well, I mean, there was another one. Omar Jimenez was like the very first week or the first day that it was all going on in Minnesota was arrested. And he literally said, why are you arresting me? I am CNN reporter, but he happened to be Black. A Black reporter, and of course, then the governor of the state had to issue an apology.
Yeah, well, and they are continuing, and all of these things we're watching police do on camera, knowing there are cameras there. For years and years and decades, Black people have said, this is how we are treated by police. And it is only videos that are holding people accountable, because we'll see a video, a department will put out a statement, another angle of that video will come out, and they will have to re-clarify that statement. To the other camera angle.
Yes. And then there are so many of them, like the Breonna Taylor case, where they are violating what they're supposed to do. Their duties is to wear that body cam. And how many of them have not worn the body cam?
Yep. No. So, absolutely. But we also see queer bars and institutions stepping up to support as well.
Yes. So in Raleigh, North Carolina, one of my favorite cities in the South, Tim. I guess it's spelled, pronounced Lemuel, has an LGBTQ bar, Ruby Deluxe. He set it up as a first aid station for protesters in his parking lot. They handed out supplies and helped people wash tear gas and pepper spray out of their eyes for about 7 hours before they saw six law enforcement officers turn towards them. A viral video shows an officer yell, "Move!" Lemuel yells back, "This is my business. I rent this place." The group of officers keeps approaching. An officer says, "You have been told." Lemuel begins to walk to the bar. The officers round the corner of the neighboring building, and one pumps what appears to be a shotgun and says, "I don't care where you go. You got to go." Then the sound and a flash of two shots. The other officer yells, "Move. The game is over. Get out." Lemuel says again, "This is my business," and then the video cuts off. So Raleigh City Council member Martin, one of two out LGBTQ people elected to the council in 2019, said for the response to be, "The game is over." When I heard that, it made the hair on my body stand up. We are still dealing with those same issues for those same people today. And hearing those words echo so aggressively as if there was a game to be had, I think it speaks perfectly well to the kind of culture and thinking that exists and pervades law enforcement today.
But huge applause to the him and the bar staff for being all there all day to support. Yeah. That is the kind of work we can do as white people, the kind of work we should be doing as queer people. And same thing in Des Moines, Iowa, Monday night, the Blazing Saddle wrote on Facebook that after seeing tear gas used on protesters, they wanted to help. Bar co-owner Brian Smith wrote, three of our people were prepared with a backpack full of first aid supplies and went outside in case anyone would be in need of assistance post-protest. Then police allegedly arrived in two trucks with guns pointed and arrested three people outside of the bar after curfew. Other staff members went inside and locked the door, and the police made them unlock it. Smith wrote, as they held us at the front door with guns, two officers went into the bar to make sure it was clear. They found our fourth person and thoroughly frisked them before bringing them outside. Then the officers continued to sweep the bar looking for others. Three people were taken to jail after the raid, and the bar said that one of them was denied medical care. They were processed after waiting several hours and released with tickets. And let's be really clear. Curfews are like bullshit government bedtimes to like make people stop making them uncomfortable. You know, not like a midnight, like, hey, we need to reset the city. 6 p.m. curfew is the government saying, you can kind of deal with your rights, but like, go home. Like, your mommy trying to put you to bed.
Yeah, they pissed me off because then I was like, anyway, it's a whole different thing.
And then one more, because holding up individuals, like really stepping out, there was a massive demonstration at Stonewall June 2nd, focused specifically on violence targeting Black trans people. Shortly after the city's new 8 p.m. curfew, the NYPD jumped on the queer peaceful protesters, punching them and beating them with batons before rounding them up and arresting them, activists said. Several activists were arrested, including Jason Rosenberg and Marty Gould Cummings, who is seeking a Manhattan City Council seat in 2021. Cummings said they were arrested at 8:15, and Rosenberg, whose face was seen bloodied on social media posts, I watched in real time on Twitter, actually, that night, as Rosenberg's friends were all saying he was arrested, trying to figure out where he was, and 4 hours later when he came out, like, blood crusted on his face. Rosenberg said, that individuals were peacefully locked arm in arm when cops barreled in and hit him with batons and punches, forcing him to receive medical treatment for an arm injury and cuts to his head. Gould Cummings explained, they were released at 7:20 the next morning, 11 hours after being arrested, saying, in cuffs for hours, no clean masks, most cops not wearing masks, and they are donating $500 to a bail fund to help others today. And I want to celebrate those queer people really standing on the front lines and repeat what I said earlier, that like not everyone is called to that action. If you're not comfortable, if that's not a space you can inhabit, there are lots of other ways to help. But do want to applaud queer people putting their bodies on the line for our Black queer and Black friends.
And this was simply an arrest because of curfew?
Yeah, curfew arrest. It was like 8 p.m., bam, barrel in.
Well... let's skip this.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
We don't need it. The shall we just roll on and bring her in? And
let's get her in here. Let's talk to Miss Holiday.
Our dear friend waiting in the wings, you know her, you love her, she needs no introduction, coming back to join us today. Please welcome to the show, Miss Debbie Holiday.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Fine, friend. How are you and whatever that means to you today?
You know, it's so many mixed emotions going back and forth all the time. I go from bouts of being first devastated just because, frankly, hopefully, many of us have never seen someone murdered live. And that alone, regardless of race, regardless of who he was or what his past was, that has stayed with me where I just keep hearing his voice because this was a human being I've never seen just snuffed out. And the lack of any kind of empathy on the officer's face has haunted me every night and every morning. And so you start there. And then I have, you know, I'm usually right at my 5,000 with friends on Facebook. And I've gone down to losing 12 in a day and then right back up and gaining new friends. And I think based on or continuing what you were mentioning, that it's really easy to get focused on the a-holes. I was called high and mighty yesterday by a white woman.
Well, I mean, no, I'm
kidding. Right?
Which you are for, high and mighty. You are which high is co- and mighty.
Right? Well, it's code for uppity.
Correct.
It's code for uppity Negro.
Yes.
She also said that it was ignorant to be angry.
Oh, really?
And the funny thing is she didn't even know my angry because I was so nice to her. I was very polite and very, she approached me to want to learn. And so I tried a few things and it was nothing but sheer whataboutism. Well, what about white people get shot too? Exponentially, if you look at how many white people there are in America and how many black people there are in America and base it on those numbers, black people get shot 24% more based on how many there are per capita. And I tried to explain these things. I tried to explain, I'm half Irish. I don't hate white people. I love half myself. I love all of me. And tried to keep it funny, and she just wasn't hearing it.
Well, we have to learn. I really do. After hearing, oh God, I wish I could remember her name. I wrote it down and then I cleared my desk because that's the way I am. And when it gets to that, and you know me, Debbie, I'm that person who, you know, come on.
I think about you. I think about you all the time. Like, what would Dell say in this situation?
Well, Dell stop sometimes and go, you are not worthy of my time.
Absolutely. Because it was a waste of time. I'm better off getting rid of that person and finding other like-minded people to do something positive with, you know? So it's a lot of back and forth. And as a performer, it's funny. I was thinking the analogy was, you guys know when you're on stage, and there can be 1,000 people reaching their hands up in such major love of what you're doing. But there's those two guys in the corner standing there like this. Like, why? And you focus on those two guys in the corner with their arms folded instead of seeing all the love there is everywhere else. When you connect with all of those people, you have a much better chance of moving ahead and having some progress.
I love that. I don't know why I had a flash of one time performing on a cruise in this room. And there were these two queens that at the end of my show, everybody leapt to their feet except these two in the front row. And I just said, you know what? You're going to have to get up in a second. What the fuck?
It's always the people in the front row. You know, I'm in Puerto Vallarta all the time in these smaller cabarets. Why does the man who's sleepy sit right in the front?
He had that baby.
You're right. The crowd is on the fever. There's that one guy like, whoa, what happened? So we have to not focus on the people that are asleep.
Yeah. But also, you know, he and I've talked about, and I still think, you know, different moments, different people's communication skills serve. I do think, Del, what you do on a regular basis does matter because sometimes arguing with a moron is helpful when you have a platform because people watch you have that argument. And then the moron in their life, it gives them language and arguments to use. You may not change that person's mind, but you may give someone else tools they can use with a moron that matters in their life, at their workplace, and their family. You know, I mean, no. And that, and Debbie, you know, as we talk, like, obviously, everything's different from a Black person's perspective. But I mean, you know, what Dell and I do in engaging with people, I do think that's useful. You know, up to the point where like there's no more energy to give, which isn't the same as a white lady on your page being like, Black lady, please explain to me because I just think that if everybody would da 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 da.
And she actually reached out to me. So to my white brothers and sisters, and again, half of me, if you're going to reach out and ask a question, listen.
There you go. And here's the difference is, you know, and thank you, Emerson, because yes, I have said many, many times when people go, oh, you're not going to change your mind. I go, I know I'm not going to change your mind. I'm just entertaining you. I'm doing it for you. But when someone reaches out to you and it's a private one-on-one and you're really trying and you're giving yourself to them and they're just not, there's nothing that you can say, nothing. Then that's time to just say, you know what?
And I also to remember the importance of solidarity. I lost another friend who isn't a Facebook friend. He's an actual friend of mine yesterday. A gay man I've known for years, who his page was just filled with vitriol. And it broke my heart because I have marched alongside. I went with Ed Barron and we marched for marriage equality. I've done videos for marriage equality and for equality in general. And to have, it just felt like such a breach of solidarity.
It wasn't Ed Barron, right?
God, no. Ed Barron,
the way you worded it, the way
we'd have gotten a group FaceTime call.
I just wanted to clarify that because you go, and I've marched with Ed Barron. And
it's Ed Barron could not be more dope. No, I love Ed Barron.
But for those of you who do not know, Ed Barron is our dear, dear friend, but he was our publicist for many, many years and did the publicity for Trailer Trash Housewife for me and Debbie and Sorted Lives and everything. So
yes, I think it's the lack of sleep with a should have been a comma or a parenthesis.
I just didn't want Ed to start getting hate mail.
Exactly. No, I love Ed Barron.
But also, like, joking and not, you know, this headspace you're in right now. I did another show earlier where Michael Shepard, who's the artistic director of the Celebration Theater, was like getting a little saying, he was like, "I'm sorry, my head's all like, you know." This is what I meant by these are spaces we as white people can step into to have the like 101 conversations, because not only are you being asked to do that, you're going through the experience of being a black person experiencing what's happening on top of the history. Like, that is load we can lift. That is places where like, yeah, like this is painful to watch. It will never be comparable or relatable or even empathetically understandable to your experience of it. And we can do that so you can be fuzzy and like deal with your own experience of it.
Well, and I also feel, because, you know, my boyfriend is white. The majority of my friends are white. And so it's when you get a question from someone that you know so well that it sort of shakes your reality. Mm-hmm. And shakes you kind of, unfortunately, back into reality that not everyone gets it. And not everyone even empathizes. Not everyone. And again, it's taken literally, the 11th day, I think. It's taken this much time to finally realize I really need to start focusing back on the friendships and the family and all the people that are so amazing, because it can make you feel angry and small and helpless. And that is not a place where you can create progress.
And I think also disappointed.
Very disappointed.
Because you think you know somebody and this is like something they reveal a part of themselves that's rather shocking. And yes. You're like, I did not know that about you. And now that, you know.
But then again, I got to focus on, you know, the positive, like my boyfriend who basically pushed me to go to the protest. Forrest is like, we should go. It's down the street. Like, and I was a little worried for him. like, do you really want to do this? And he pushed me to go and we went, and it was one of the best experiences I've had. It was peaceful. It was so many people of every race and every gender and all marching together, and it was wonderful. And our voices do need to be heard. And sometimes there's so many ways to do it. You can donate, you can get out there, put your own feet on the ground, writing senators. There's so much that can be done. Our time is so much better spent on that than the morons. Hey, I know morons' lives matter too.
Hey, well,
not as much.
I loved what you did the other day. Your show was so really beautiful, and we're excited that you're going to sing for us. But I love that you donated to this project. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
The Innocence Project. I was really lucky that I happened to be, because I don't really watch a lot of like America's Got Talent and all of that. There is a black man named Archie Williams who served 37 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. And they had the DNA evidence to free him, just never did. So the Innocence Project exonerates, I'm just messing with my Pro Tools here. The Innocence Project exonerates through DNA many of these people who otherwise would simply either be put to death or spend the rest of their lives in jail. Anyway, his dream was always to be on America's Got Talent. And he made it there after being released finally after 37 years. And his attitude was akin to, say, Nelson Mandela. He was just grateful to be out. And he said they never put his mind in prison. So he would just focus and he would visualize being on America's Got Talent. And he made it there.
And he was so he would sing there in prison for people. And he is such an inspiration. I just don't know how. I just don't have. I'm not that nice.
I'm not either.
I mean, there's no way I could not be just like so angry.
Yes. And I would like to say about that, I almost canceled my show because I just didn't think I had like the mental fortitude, because it's all, you guys know, it's strange enough talking into a phone as opposed to, you know, talking to human beings and being able to see their eyes when I'm singing, and it's a reciprocal, it's all outflow. So sometimes it can be even more exhausting to perform without having the flow back in.
Right.
So I wasn't sure I could do it. I'm so grateful that I did, because a fan of mine, I won't say his name, ended up donating in my name $10,000 to the Innocence Project.
That's amazing.
So you never know from my little den here, you never know what small piece of something you do that can spark a flame. That $10,000 may get, and let's face it, a lot of the people who don't have the funds to properly defend themselves will be Black and brown people in this country. So the Innocence Project, it will be helping so many people. And I just thought, I almost canceled. And yet, and then I also donated 20% of my ticket sales as well. So one little step, you think you're, I'm just doing this show, made such a difference. So what you do really matters.
Well, and I tell you,
can I say the not serious thing for a second?
Yes, please.
I hope someone matches that to you personally as well, as an entertainer stuck at home, unable to go to gigs.
Having let's go back to Pride, everybody. Everybody who's and we got you. Got to go to. Are you back on Sunday nights at 7?
Actually, I'm switching to Mondays at 6.
Okay, good, because you had a big turn. You had a real nice turnout.
I had a real nice turnout, and I polled my fans, and they said do Monday, so I'm doing.
Okay,
and it's,
all right.
I like it. So Monday at 6 p.m.
Everybody, Monday night at 7 o'clock on Debbie Holiday. It's easy to find. Just search Debbie Holiday with a Y, not an IE, and she sings for an hour, and she talks.
6 p.m.
Oh, I'm sorry, 6.
I'm moving. I'm not going to compete with your bedtime stories.
Oh, well, I don't do them on Sunday nights.
Monday.
Oh, Monday nights. Yeah. Okay. Well, nonetheless, it's fantastic. And what you gave, you know, when you didn't want to do it, sometimes I don't want to go do bedtime stories either. But when people write me and say, hey, I looked forward to this and you were the first laugh I had tonight or whatever, it's like, okay, that's a gift to you back. But what a gift you gave to all of us that night, because we needed to hear you sing.
Thank you. And obviously I said that like tongue in cheek, but also as a very serious reminder that in the midst of all of this and all of your journey as a Black woman, you are also an entertainer stuck at home during a crisis with no foreseeable end to the opportunity for live performances in public again. So I'm also not kidding at people remembering to support the entertainers they enjoy while they're at home.
And people, thank God, because we talk, and you've had some good nights with that, because if you want to know the truth of the matter, because Debbie is my friend, she didn't mind me talking about this, Pride Month is her month. I mean, she is performing 1, 2, 3 times a week during Pride.
I had 34 scheduled shows canceled. It was my most booked year, ever.
There you go. And she ain't that cheap. I mean, you know,
she's earned that fee.
She, and here's the deal, y'all, because we have a very large, and thank you, LGBTQ fans of ours, all of ours. But Debbie is an ally, and she has been giving us amazing music that we can dance to and that we can put in our soundtracks on Queer as Folk and all kinds of stuff for years. And in my, you know, I how many
out for free for sissies?
Yes.
Worked for $3 and a thank you, doing vocal production on Willem's tracks for Sissies. I mean,
right.
Like the least we can do is be an ally, because she has showed up so much for us.
So, and I think, and that's kind of the point in general, is that we need to, we are all each other's allies in life in general. I tried to explain to this woman yesterday that it is not my job to educate her. If you want to ask me a couple of questions, I will. And so I gave her a link to, and I think you have the link, and I would love you guys to share it. 10 documentaries you can watch about race instead of asking a person of color to explain it to you. Because just like I've watched hours of World War II footage to learn about Auschwitz and Nazi Germany, and that's not my heritage, but heritage and history matters. And the more you understand about history, the smarter you're going to be, the more empathetic person you're going to be, and frankly, the better person you're going to be. History works.
Well, and it's, and, you know, tying it back to our, like, and our really focus on Black queer people today, I've always been very obsessed with Bayard Rustin and his contribution to the civil rights movement and then coming out. And he said, and I remember this all the time, you have to join every other movement for the freedom of people. You know, it's never just yours, because it's actually that simple. None of us are free till we're all free.
That's right.
And like, whether people showed up for you or not, you show up for them. Like, you show up.
So, Del, I want to read you something Kat Songbird wrote in the room, right? She said, Debbie and Del, you all helped me when I was fighting COVID-19 and even now fighting all the damage it did and the emotional solidarity during these trying times and heart-wrenching times. So there you go. So Kat, we love you.
It's Kat can preach. Yes. I was watching her. She was just talking into the camera the other day and I was just like, get on, Kat. Preach.
I love the way you're we get to know our fans. I love it. I mean, when they show up for you, we're like, yeah, there he is. There's Michael. There's Nate. Just Black, isn't it? Yeah. So Erica, the coach.
Erica. Yes. Yeah. And I tell you, I've loved giving things away. I do a quiz, and last week was great because it got a little education in as well, which I think I'm going to keep doing, asking questions that sort of enlighten and acknowledge some differences and some things that are the same about us. And I've loved just giving away a few things. And that's, I also wanted to say, the more I give every single week, the more I get back, because I have a few other artists that, you know, I'll buy a $50 ticket to their show. And then 2 weeks later, they buy a $50 ticket to mine. It's just been going around. We've all been really helpful and hopeful for each other. So the majority of people are pretty freaking awesome. It's the ones you have to let go.
Well, I love a good trivia question. So I was in that contest.
I know. I owe you a free to be t-shirt. I'm gonna have to do a drive by, like throw it up to your balcony.
Yeah, let's get a t-shirt cannon.
So, by the way, the lighting is fantastic in your room. I'm just so envious. It looks so great.
Thank you.
Maybe it's not the lighting. Maybe you just lied. Maybe you're your own light.
Well, you have enough free time, you know, when we're not traveling like we usually are, and packing. I realize how much time of my life I spend packing. Oh my God, I spend so much time packing. So with all of that not happening and getting my nails done and getting my hair done and doing it myself, I've learned to work on lighting. I built my own light ring from scratch. What?
Fancy now.
Yeah, you know, got to keep yourself busy. And then all this happened. I'm busy now.
You want to sing for us?
Sure. I will sing obviously an amazing song, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John. But this is the song I heard Archie Williams sing, which made me think, it puts on a completely different meaning right now. So, or takes.
Oh no.
I was getting ready to make her solo. I hit it wrong.
Uh-oh. It scared me. You scared me, Emerson.
You're trying to kill a Black voice, aren't you?
I see you. Not me out.
Not us.
This I know. All right, let's do a little of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Debbie Holiday.
I've cried so much, I'm gonna try not to cry this time.
no more of your darling. All my pictures seem to fade black and white. I'm growing tired, and time stands still before me. Frozen here on the ladder of my life. Too late to save myself from falling. I took a chance and I changed your way of life. Now I what are you misread? My meaning when I met you. Close the door and left me blind by light. Oh, don't let oh, I search myself. There's always someone else I see. I just allow a fragment of your life to wander free.
It's like the sun going down.
is like a song of love on me.
Yay.
Yay!
Look, applause. Debbie, look.
Oh, my God.
You haven't heard applause for a while.
Ah.
That was fantastic.
Thank you. Such a great song, of course.
All of the applause and love in the comments.
Yes, everybody loves you. We love you. Thank you for being with us today. You just made it it made it special. It made it extra special. So,
yeah. And it's so wonderful seeing your guys' faces. I miss you so much.
And if people want to contribute for that, how do they do so?
The Innocence Project is very easy to find. It's quite literally theinnocenceproject.org.
And if they want to contribute to you directly, how do they do so?
They go to Debbie Holiday at either Venmo or PayPal. I'm really easy to find. There are links all over my Facebook page as well.
Great.
Debbie with a Y, y'all. Just like
Debbie with a Y. Don't get it twisted. With a Y.
Siri's really awful about your name with me. I mean,
my own phone doesn't know how to spell my name.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
So, well, keep singing and drive by with that t-shirt. You don't even have to bring a t-shirt. I'll show you my tomato plants.
I want to see. You know what? All right. When we're done here, we'll make a date for that.
All right. Okay. I love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye. Just the greatest. Well, you know,
Levi Christ for introducing me to Debbie Holiday. We're all one connected world. Yeah.
And you have to buy her music.
Yes.
Absolutely. There's so much available, so many places. Well, this for me felt like a great kickoff to Pride Month. You know, Pride was a protest. We should be, I'm just thinking about it, you know, if you can protest, protest. If you can't, financially support. If you can't, write letters. If you can't, challenge your friends. You know, find something that you can do impacting your world in some way. Do whatever you can where you can and push yourself to do a tiny bit more than you think you can do.
So let's give them a little bit of an update on our, if you missed Assorted live stream, I'm sorry, it's gone. We had a 4-day thing, We had a thing. We had an agreement that we could only have it up for 4 days, but you can still donate. And while we were doing our show, we had 2 donations. So Emerson Collins, will you tell us the numbers, please?
Yes. Y'all, we have raised over $50,000 in direct donations. The auction is currently over $18,000. We will get to keep 80% of whatever that total eventually is. The auction runs till June 11th. We're going to leave direct donations open for a little bit longer as well, because as you would understand, after Sunday night, we chose to then put it aside and let the focus of the week be specifically on these protests and on Black people. So we're going to leave that open for a while longer. But even in this very moment, we will already be able to donate over $2,700 to each of the 23 theaters that participated. We had over 33,000 people check some part of the broadcast out between Facebook and YouTube. At the height of the broadcast, we had over 2,300 people watching directly, which is a huge fucking big theater, completely filled with people watching the reading. It was amazing.
And I have to tell you, we were really like, we tried to sound relaxed, but we were never relaxed because anything could have gone wrong. Anything could have gone wrong. But boy, Emerson Collins had backup ideas. He told me about afterwards. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad you didn't tell me that I did not get into that mind frame, because it really went off without a hitch. I mean, there were a few bumbles here and there, but nothing. So
no, it went better than I could have possibly hoped, but better response than we could possibly have hoped. So truly, thank you to all of you that tuned in, that donated, that shared. It was a wild success, and also just on a personal level, felt wonderful to be doing something to help somebody while we're still at home.
Yeah, so thank you all, and we're excited. I mean, my goal is that we get it up there so that we can get $3,000 at each theater. That's what I really want. So anyway, if you gave, thank you. If you listened, thank you. If you shared, thank you. There were like so many shares too. So that was really, really cool for us. So it was like a family reunion. So and then you turn it off and you're back to reality. So y'all stay strong, stay passionate out there, and let's stay focused on what the real message should be, and let's listen and continue to listen and continue
and to support. If you're someone that has enough money to support all these good causes and these theater and still has a little bit left over to support us, we're still sitting at home. So you can tip us on Venmo at Emerson Collins or on PayPal at Beard Collins Shores Productions at gmail.com. And however you spend your weekend, you know, do a little something. I'm headed out to March here in Palm Springs tomorrow morning. I made That's a sign.
And we didn't say this, but I think LA Pride has changed what?
There's problems with that. We can talk about it real fast if you want.
Sure, we can go over.
So LA Pride announced this week that they're going to do a march in solidarity with the movement that's happening right now on June the 14th. Great. Fantastic. Then it came out the next morning that they didn't talk to any Black organizations or Black Lives Matter LA or Black Pride or anyone before establishing that. And so they have since said they are in communication with organizations. So I'm definitely waiting and hoping that they resolve that in a way that Black people and Black queer people feel appropriately leading, because it's one thing when your aunt, you know, who doesn't spend any time anywhere but on Facebook, doesn't know, but as activist organizations, we should definitely be doing a little bit better than making the announcement before checking with the people it's supposed to be for. So I am hopeful that they end up at a resolution that meets the needs of the Black queer community too.
Yeah, I do too. There's been some problems with LA Pride for a long time. So y'all get it right.
I mean, their hearts, I think, are in the right place. But if you want to stand in solidarity with people, you better check with those people and make sure that they are leading, you know, the way you're supporting.
Well, include them. Yeah.
Oh, wait, you'll love this. I came up with an analogy that speaks that if I haven't told you this already. Because white people at Black Lives Matter protests, we need to think of ourselves as the white characters in the musical Dream Girls. Like, you need to be here, but it's not your story or your show.
There you go. And you played one of those once.
And Mike and I played the white characters in a production of Dreamgirls, and it was very exciting to have like three lines.
I saw that production. I drove to Thousand Oaks, I believe it was. Wasn't it? Thousand Oaks?
Yes. So, 5-star theatrical.
All right.
That's where we are. We'll be back on Tuesday and have more things to talk about.
All right. I'm putting the dog up because she's cuter than anybody.
That is correct.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.